I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. It doesn't seem that long ago, that moment when the then governor of California, Pete Wilson, made his promise to crack down on criminals.
We should start with a three strikes, you're out bill. Let's double the penalty for two-time felons and put three-time losers behind bars for life. It's time to turn career criminals into career inmates.
Wilson made that promise barely 3 months after a 12-year-old girl named Polly Klass was kidnapped from her home in Petaluma, California, and killed by a repeat offender. Fueled by public outrage over that murder, the law that became known as Three Strikes was quickly passed in California. Well, it's now in place at the federal level and in more than half the states in the country. But California's Three Strikes law is now 10 years old. And it remains at the center of a furious debate over how to treat criminals in America. Some Californians are pushing to change the three strikes law so that it only applies in cases of violent crime. Defenders of the law insist that all crime is violent. They say that repeat felons should, quite simply, be locked away. What do you think? Is three strikes making this country a safer place? Or is it time to change or get rid of the law? More to the point, I guess, can repeat offenders be rehabilitated? Our number's 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Let us know what you think. Now, we're going to hear from people on both sides of the issue this hour. We want to start with Mike Reynolds in Fresno. He was and still is one of the strongest defenders of three strikes. I asked him to explain why.
My 18-year-old daughter, Kimber, was home to be in a wedding. And after that wedding, she'd gone out to dinner, and two men that were recently on parole and very frankly high on drugs attempted to steal her purse in front of one of Fresno's more trendy restaurants. And they took the purse, and then they shot her to death. Took a .357 Magnum, placed it in her ear, and pulled the trigger.
And what was it about that that led you into the three strikes area that's been so much a part of your life since then?
Well, it was the question to me is how come they were back out onto the streets? These guys were career criminals. It seemed like no one could keep them behind bars for very long, and each time they came out, they went back with new victims and new convictions, and somehow we had to figure out how we could stop this cycle of crime and violence.
It took you a couple of years to do that, but you got the three strikes law in place, and that was 10 years ago now. As you look back, how do you evaluate it? Has it been a success?
Well, the last 10 years, we've seen 2 million fewer crimes in the state of California. And the remarkable part of this is, or the truly remarkable part, is that everyone projected and predicted California would need some 20 new prisons, and our population would literally double as far as prisoners within just 5 years. Well, in fact, we saw California build 19 new prisons 10 years prior to three strikes. And yet, after three strikes, 10 years later, we're now see a state that hasn't built even one new prison in the last 10 years.
And you'll know also, Mike, that at this 10-year anniversary, there are people who are saying, you know, it hasn't worked very well, and they point to, you know, the number of third strike people serving 25 years for drug possession, and saying that's not what it was meant to do. The law is not working.
Yeah. While it's clear there is people doing 25 to life for drug possession or a bad check or stealing a slice of pizza, never lose sight of the fact that they have to first have two prior serious or violent offenses. And what that means is you can be a drug offender your entire life or steal pizza your entire life and never be a three striker. However, if you're a person who has had a very violent past, it does enable our prosecutors in conjunction with a judge to triage each and every case on its own merit, and that's exactly what they do. They find that only about one out of every 10 eligible cases they feel qualified for a third strike, and they are, I guess you'd say, sorting the wheat from the chaff.
Mike, you brought a lot of passion to pushing this through 10 years ago. Are you going to have to whip up the same defense for three strikes this time around? Is the lobby against it that powerful?
There is indeed going to be, our estimation is, an initiative on this November's ballot that will undo California's three strikes. If it's successful, it would turn loose over 30,000 of California's most active, serious and violent criminals. It would be a true bloodbath in this state, and it very frankly is being brought forward by the families of criminals who have portrayed this as being a mean and nasty law. And I'm sorry that they don't like this law, and it really does beg the question, should we make laws that criminals, and for that matter their families and their attorneys, like? My answer to that is it doesn't matter what their prior criminal record is or how many crimes they have or have not committed. The only thing Three Strikes is asking them to do is stop doing crime. That's all they have to do.
Mike, I want to thank you so much for being with us on the program today.
Thank you for having us.
Mike Reynolds was one of the original sponsors of California's Three Strikes Law. Now, at the beginning of the program, you'll remember I mentioned Polly Clash. She was the 12-year-old girl kidnapped and killed by a repeat offender, killed by a man who'd already been convicted twice of kidnapping and was out on early release. And it was her case that helped fire up public outrage against such criminals and led to the quick passage of the Three Strikes Law. Joining us now on the line from California is Polly's grandfather, Joe Clash. Joe, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
You were among these people in favor of a three strikes law 10 years ago, am I right?
For about 2 months until I read it and discovered that nonviolent offenses could get the same sentences as violent offenses, and I could see no reason at all for putting people away for drug possession for 25 years to life. They're sick.
Now,
or shoplifting, who cares? You know, they get a sentence. I'm not saying they should get off, but why should they get these rest of their life or double sentence on the second strike? That doesn't make any sense. I want to say something else about the remarks that were just made.
Yeah.
I have absolutely no members of my family in prison for anything. My organization, Citizens Against Violent Crime, is against violent crime.
But
we're not supporting putting people away for shoplifting for double sentences on strike two or 25 years to life on strike three.
Joe, let's be clear now. In the case of your granddaughter, Polly, you would say in that case, three strikes should definitely apply. That's a violent crime, right?
Well, of course, he got the death sentence. And Mike Reynolds is the perpetrators of the murder of Mike Reynolds is 20. So she was no child. She was a grown woman, but they would have gotten the death sentence because they shot her. That has nothing to do with three strikes. First-degree murder is not in the three strikes law.
Okay, but Mike's saying that if the law is changed now, all these people will be released onto the streets
of
California.
No, they won't. Absolutely not. That's an incorrect statement. What will happen is people who are in there for nonviolent offenses will get a rehearing from their original sentencing judge, and this time he will have the discretion to make the punishment fit the crime instead of having to send them away 25 years to life or doubling the sentence on the second strike.
Joe, one more question. Is it that easy to figure out the difference between what is a violent crime and what's a nonviolent crime?
It was almost impossible for us to get the word out to the public what the difference was. But a serious crime is not a violent crime, and that's any physical violence at all gets the full three strikes punishment, and crimes of sex against children get even stronger punishments under our referendum. People who have sex with children under 10 years old get 25 years to life on strike one under our referendum, and people who do that with children under between 11 and 14, they get 25 years to life on the second strike. That's the strongest laws in the country against people who have sex with children, and that's in our bill.
Okay,
that's
Joe, I've got to move on. I want to thank you for being with us.
Sure.
Joe Clash is chairman of Citizens Against Violent Crime, joining us on the line from his home in Pebble Beach, California. Let me introduce the people who will be with us for the balance of the hour. Vincent Schiraldi is joining us from NPR Studios in Washington. He's executive director of the Justice Policy Institute, a criminal justice reform think tank based in Washington. And Justice Policy Institute has just published a review that's very critical of three strikes. Vincent, good of you to be with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
And Charles Hobson is joining us from a studio in Sacramento, California, where he is attorney with the Criminal Justice Legal Foundation. It's a crime victims rights organization based in Sacramento. Charles, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I should start with you, Charles, just to get you to speak back to what we were hearing from Joe Klass, this idea that it's time the law be changed to include just violent crimes. What do you think of that?
Well, a couple things. First of all, if the initiative does qualify for the ballot, it's because the president of Men's Wearhouse basically gave them a lot of money, and they're paying paid circulators $3 a signature to get the signatures on for the ballot. With that type of money, anything could get qualified for an initiative in California. The problem with this effort to change the law is it will release, contrary to what Mr. Klass says, it will release over 20,000, 20,000 to 40,000 people very, very early from prisons in California. The problem is these hearings, these retroactive hearings for the people who are currently serving three strike sentences will lead to very, very difficult cases for people to prove, particularly if, for instance, you have prior convictions of burglary from other states. It'll be very hard to get the information.
Okay, but I'm looking at the three strike laws and the two strike laws in other states where they have made that distinction about those only applying to violent crimes. Would that be an improvement in California?
No, it would not. It would be a very, very bad case. I'll give you an example. A fellow in San Diego, Jose Luis Areola, he had two prior convictions in 1984 and 1986 for child molestation. In 1995, he was arrested and arrested for possession of PCP. It was charged as a felony under the three strikes law. He would have been sentenced to 25 to life. The judge dismissed it, as is his power under the three strikes law. He basically reduced that from a felony to a misdemeanor. He was served a very, very short sentence. Soon afterwards, he became a resident child molester. He was molesting three young boys in his own house. I think the ages were 10, 8, and 7, and then an 8 and 13-year-old neighbor boys. And he was eventually caught, and in 1999, he pled to and served a very, very long sentence. I think it's a 50 to life sentence for over 40 counts of child molestation. This is the problem.
Okay,
you have people who do very, very bad offenses.
Let me just interrupt you for a minute because I want to make sure that I let Vincent just speak briefly before the break. And Vincent, your study is very critical of it, and there are numerous cases on both sides that are used to argue the point. But at the nub of what you're looking at, what's the problem with three strikes in California?
Really, I think the findings of the study show that it costs too much, that it does too little, and it targets the wrong people. Almost twice as many people were sentenced to prison. We're not talking about just a couple of nonviolent offenders here. We're talking about almost twice as many people getting locked up under three strikes for nonviolent crimes as for violent crimes. And the overall number is massive. It's 42,000 people are now serving time in prison in California for three strikes. That's larger than the entire prison population of 42 different states.
Were you saying that wasn't the original intention to lock those people up?
No, in fact, the original intention was to lock up even more than that. But I don't think the voters understood when they went to the polls that they'd be locking up so many nonviolent offenders. In fact, the San Diego Union-Tribune did a poll in May of 1994, and at that time, 64% of the public wanted there to be a nonviolent three strikes option on the ballot, but Governor Wilson never allowed that to happen.
Okay, we have to take a short break. We'll come back, continue this conversation. Our number is 1-800-423-8255. Connection listeners, does three strikes work? Should it only apply to violent criminals? Can you rehabilitate repeat felons? 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from NPR. Dick Gordon, you're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. Three Strikes is 10 years old this month. It was first passed in California. That's where our story is this hour as we take a look at the usefulness of the three-strike law, the way it's defined in California, the way that people are arguing about it on its 10th anniversary. We'd like to have you in on the conversation because there are two strikes, three-strike laws in states right across this country now. Our number is 1-800-423-8255. I have with me on the program Vinnie Schiraldi, who is executive Executive Director of the Justice Policy Institute, Chuck Hobson, is an attorney with the Criminal Justice Legal Foundation. I need a little bit of help from both of you at this point in the program, because in doing my homework last night, I really got a little bit flattened by the conflicting studies and numbers and reports and examples that are used to make the case that three strikes is good and three strikes is bad. And so where I ended up, and I don't know if this is the right place, is crime rate. The crime rate in California is down. Now, Chuck, is that the strongest case that you can make for three strikes being a good law?
It is one of many strong cases you can make for the three strikes law. There was a very good study done by Joanna Shepherd, a criminologist in the Journal of Legal Studies, that did very, very sophisticated statistical analysis of three strikes and shows not only did the three strike sentence deter crime, but so did the second and the first strikes. The second strike sentence did, and even those who don't have any strikes are committing fewer, particularly the serious and violent crimes, because they're afraid of getting strikes.
So it is a deterrent, less a question that all the bad guys are being locked up, right?
Well, it's both. It's a deterrent. It also incapacitates criminals. Remember, people with lengthy criminal records, and your typical three strikes defendant, the person who actually sentenced in the three strikes case, has more than just two prior violent or serious offenses. They usually have a very, very long string of offenses. These are professional offenders. In essence, they're serving a life sentence on the installment plan by serving many, many small sentences for crimes.
Okay, let me just hear from Vinny Schiraldi on this question about the crime rate being down, though. Isn't that a powerful argument in favor of three strikes in California?
Well, I think that, you know, the proponents have taken this really and blown it as far out of proportion as you possibly can, because it almost seems as if they're arguing that not only is three strikes just a wonderful cure-all for crime in California, but it's curing crime in New York and Arizona and Idaho as well, because crime went down in all of those places during that same 10-year period, some of which had three strikes laws and some of which didn't. So if you look at the case of New York.
Let's use New York for an example.
Sure. Let's look at the case of New York. New York saw almost no increase whatsoever in its prison population between 1994, when three strikes was passed, and 2002, which is the most recent year we have data for on New York. So during that 8-year period, New York added 315 people to its prison population, while California added over 34,000. California passed three strikes. New York didn't. So this is a great comparison. If three strikes works the way Chuck says it does, California should have mightily outperformed New York from a crime control standpoint.
Chuck, let's hear from you just on this one comparison.
One thing to remember is
I didn't finish the comparison.
Well, you can allow him to finish the comparison. I have no problems with that.
Okay, finish up, Penny.
Sure. I mean, and so then when we look at what happened in those two states, New York's violent crime rate dropped 20% more than California's. It had a better drop in homicides. It had a better drop in overall crime. It had a better drop in pretty much every category of crime you could imagine. Now I'm done.
Chuck, go ahead.
Each state will have its own circumstances. In the case of New York, I certainly think that what Mayor Giuliani did with respect to community policing and tactics like that certainly helped. And New York had its own particularly bad set of drug wars in the mid to early 90s, which evaporated for other reasons, which is one reason to explain part of New York's drop in crime. California's drop in crime was significantly greater than the overall national drop in crime during the time that the three strikes law passed. Also remember, even though California increased its prison population, our state population has been increasing during the entire 10 years, something that you can't say about the state of New York. So it's not quite fair to make that comparison. It's also worth remembering that California now spends a smaller proportion of its budget on prisons than it did before the three strikes law was passed. And for the last 3 years, our prison population has stayed relatively small. It's also worth noting that we've been exporting parolees and probationers from California since the three strikes law has passed.
What do you mean exporting them? People have been leaving?
Yeah, basically parolees and probationers have been leaving California every year since the three strikes law has passed because they're afraid of committing crimes in California. They're going to other states which don't have as tough a set of criminal sentencing statutes.
One of the arguments, Vinny, is that California is just a safer place today. Can they make that case?
Oh, yeah. Well, California, as Idaho and New York and Arizona, basically every single state in the United States except Montana saw double-digit decreases in its crime rate.
You're just saying this can't be linked to three strikes then?
Well, I mean, let's look in California, okay, because we just compared California to New York. We looked at the 12 largest counties in the state of California. The six counties that use three strikes most frequently per capita use it at twice the rate of the counties that use it least frequently, okay? So, again, it's a good comparison. It's not just close. They're using it a lot more.
That's in the L.A. area primarily, isn't it?
San Diego, L.A., no. It's all over over the state. The 12 largest counties are spread out all over the state, and it's really justice by geography in California. you can get three strikes for for petty theft in some counties, and in other counties they just don't do it. So again, if it's got the deterrent effect, if it's got the incapacitation effect, the ones using it the most should be doing the best. And what we found was that the violent crime rates and the homicide rates fell more in the counties that were using it less frequently than the ones using it more frequently. San Francisco and Los Angeles are probably as good an example as you're going to get, right? Now, remember, these are rates, so they're adjusted for population. Los Angeles used three strikes during its first decade at 9 times the rate of San Francisco. And yet San Francisco's homicide rate fell more, San Francisco's violent crime rate fell more, San Francisco's overall crime rate fell more than Los Angeles's did. Lots of things drove down crime in California. The waning of the crack cocaine epidemic, the fantastic economic boom the state experienced during that time. And to just pick three strikes, it runs into the logical fallacies. If I do A and B happens, A must have caused B. There are lots of reasons why crime went down, and there's really no research showing that those counties that used it more did better, that those states that used it more did better. In fact, it's had very disappointing results when you look at it from that standpoint.
Okay, we're going to talk a little bit more about the research, but I want to hear from Pam Martinez, who's been listening in on the phone. Pam's joining us from her home near San Diego, California. And Pam was convicted under the three strikes law for stealing a toolbox. And Pam, if I understand the history of your run-ins with the law, first time around, your car was used in a robbery, right?
That's correct. In 1978, I was convicted of robbery.
Second time, you were high on drugs and arrested for shoplifting, right?
That's correct. However, I accepted a plea bargain for second-degree robbery.
Okay, which made it a felony, right?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. And the third time around, you were drunk at a work site and accused of stealing this toolbox.
Yeah, it was less than a $30 toolbox. And in 1996, I was arrested in 1995. However, in 1996, I was sentenced to 25 years to life.
Were you surprised when you went into the courtroom and found out that was going to be your sentence?
I was appalled. I thought they had my case mixed up with some kind of murder case. And I thought, oh, they need to straighten this out. I was totally befuddled. I didn't have a clue that this law was recently, it was less than a year old, and I wasn't aware of it whatsoever.
And then when you went to jail, did you meet other people who were saying much the same sort of thing, that they were surprised to find themselves in jail under this law?
Oh, definitely. I left when I won my appeal in 1999, and I was released in October of 2001. And I left thousands of people behind in despair, their families torn apart, who were doing 25 years to life for $5 worth of cocaine. One woman was with a guy who did a robbery at a bar, and he robbed 6 patrons. She was outside in the car. She received a conviction, but it was the early 80s. Then 15 years later, she was arrested for a minor shoplifting charge, and she was in there with me for 25 years to life.
Pam, Chuck was saying a little bit earlier on the program that the idea of three strikes was supposed to be a deterrent, that the threat of 25 years was supposed to have people like you thinking, whoa, I can't commit any more crimes or I'm going to be locked away. Doesn't it work at all like that?
Absolutely not. And 10 years ago, when they passed this this initiative, they didn't have Prop 36. They didn't have the programs that they have today. The crime rate is down today because they've implemented drug rehab. They've implemented Prop 36, which allows offenders to receive treatment and understand about rehab. They didn't have that 10 years ago. And in regards to Mike Reynolds' comment about his daughter and Joe Kloss's granddaughter, I mean, these were tragedies, granted. And the politicians rode on the coattails of these tragedies for political gain. I mean, there has been a habitual offender law on the books of California for 25 years.
Okay, but Pam, let me ask you about this from another way, because you have actually managed to get yourself together, but you've spent 10 years of your life in jail on various offenses. And most of the time, most of those 10 years, if I understand your case correctly, you weren't ready for any kind of rehabilitation. And in a way, it seems to me, that makes the case for three strikes. People who say, oh, man, we let her out. She's just going to do something again. We might as well just lock her up.
Absolutely not. My first conviction, they took me straight to prison. I never heard about rehab. I wasn't even aware. I didn't have the motivation to seek rehabilitation. There was no such programs in effect at that time. And then, actually, on this when I was released in 2001, for 2.5 years, I have been out being a taxpaying member of society, working at Home Depot, and doing great. And now, after a Supreme Court argument and all the way through the appellate system, on March 30th, I'm ordered to turn myself in to serve 65 more days on this sentence.
That one gets a little complicated, the sort of in and out of jail, and I don't want to go there, though I know it's very important to you. It's kind of in a confusing part of the story. I just wanted to invite Chuck Hobson back in, and Chuck, have you talked to Pam here on your perspective of three strikes? Is this a story? Is this a case where you say, well, maybe three strikes is not the best thing for someone like Pam Martinez, or the reverse?
Well, I mean, in any type of sentence, it doesn't matter what type of sentencing structure you have, you always have cases that reasonable people can disagree about. What three strikes has built into it is discretion. First, on the part of the prosecution, they can choose not to file it as a three strikes case. Secondly, the judges can actually dismiss prior convictions, or in the case of current offenses that can be either misdemeanors or felonies, they can reduce it from a felony charge to misdemeanor and bring it outside the three strikes law. That's what happened to Pam. What's also worth noting, though, is California has had, I think for over 30 years, has had what's called diversion and various forms of drug treatment. The proposition she's talking about simply made it mandatory in certain cases, right, which has its own debatable effects, but that's not a matter for this show. But it's never been the case that for serious or violent felony convictions, you can have your sentence deferred and sort of do drug treatment instead.
That's
remember,
incorrect.
She participated in
you participated
in a robbery and in a burglary. I'm sorry, you don't get
no,
to,
I
you
didn't
don't
participate in a burglary.
It was a robbery. It was second degree robbery, which, by the way, is a crime of violence. Robbery is taking something by fear or force.
No, it isn't a violent crime. Second degree robbery in California is a serious felony, not violent. And if you'd like to put an arrest report, I'd gladly pass it to you.
Pam,
it's
Dick here.
Let me
ask you just one more question, Pam, and that is, if it were to be changed, if the three strikes law were to be changed, would it make sense to leave it in place for people who are convicted of crimes of violence?
Absolutely. We don't advocate crime. And I've worked with CAVC, and I've worked with the families to amend California's three strikes, and it's absolutely mandatory. Prison is big business in California, and that's where the problem lies. The politicians have utilized it to the full benefit. And you know, the families are suffering for it. They're being thrown into poverty because if families are ripped apart. They are locking up our youth for life instead of giving them a chance. What's that showing our youth?
Pam, I got to move on. I want to thank you for being with us on the program today.
Thank you.
Pam Martinez on the phone there from her home near San Diego, California. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. We're going next to Burlington, Vermont, and Robert's with us. Hi, Robert.
Hi. About 2 years ago, I served on a jury. It was domestic abuse, and so there was violence in it. But little did I know when I started serving on the jury that they were setting this guy up for the habitual offender law here in Vermont, which is like a three strikes. And we don't have the death penalty in Vermont, and the worst thing a jury can do to somebody is send them to prison for the rest of his life, and I was not morally prepared for that. When we convicted the guy, then the judge told us, I'm sorry, jury, but you got some more work to do. And it's in Vermont, it's the jury that makes this decision whether the habitual offender law applies or not. And then we had to go back and send this guy to prison for the rest of his life, which was morally weighty. And I can just tell you that if it was shoplifting instead, which is what it would be like if it was in California,
right,
which is just ridiculously evil, if it would have been that, I don't know if I could have lived with myself. If I had convicted this guy in shoplifting, thinking, we're going to be...
But, Robert, you had a choice, right? You and the rest of the jury had a choice there.
I didn't get the entire information. If I knew that I was going to be convicting this guy, I mean, I'm not complaining so much about my situation. I'm saying if it was shoplifting,
yeah,
and if I convicted this guy of shoplifting, and then I found out, now the guy is... we're applying three strikes, and you're going to have to send him to prison for the rest of his life. Or if it was completely administrative, we convict the guy and the judge makes the decision to send him to prison for the rest of his life. I don't know if I could have lived with myself.
Okay, Robert.
That's ridiculous.
I want to hear from Vinny here for a minute. Vinny Schiraldi, the discretion that Robert is saying really wasn't a part of his deliberation, the discretion that Chuck and Pam were talking about, is that enough to kind of soften the sharp edge of the tooth in this law or not?
Well, actually, you shouldn't have juries having that kind of discretion. I mean, we shouldn't pass laws that are so ridiculous that juries nullify actual convictions in order to avoid them.
Right.
And you've seen some of that in California. There was a story in the Los Angeles Times about a case in which a guy got convicted for, you know, possession of drugs. And when he actually got the conviction, you know, the jury was sort of wondering why this guy even go to trial, because it was such a obvious case that he was completely caught in possession of drugs. He cried out, "Oh my God, you guys just gave me life for $10 worth of cocaine." And when the jury heard that, and the defense attorney then polled the jury as to whether, you know how you have a right to poll the jury,
yeah,
and ask them if the person was guilty or not, the jury nullified the case. Several jurors wouldn't vote for a conviction. That's not what we want. We really don't want that. And, yes, absolutely, some discretion now has been returned to the three strikes law through a Supreme Court decision that the proponents, Mike Reynolds and others, of three strikes fought tooth and nail, parenthetically. Okay, so they're now like, oh, there's plenty of discretion in the law.
Yeah, yeah,
there was
yeah.
no discretion originally. They were fighting that tooth and nail. But still, 2/3 of the people being locked up under a law that's cost about $8 billion while California was cutting its schools and making higher education less accessible to people. You've got an awful lot to prove to say, yes, that's the best expenditure of the next $1 billion on our already $5.7 billion prison system to say we should take it from our schools, we should take it from our health care, because it's a zero-sum game in California to lock up that next nonviolent offender for 25 to life and spend $600,000.
Chuck, we're just coming up to a break here. Is money at the heart of this? Is money a key issue here?
No, it's an illusion. California spends a smaller proportion of its budget on prisons now, on corrections now, than it did when three strikes passed. California spends a lot more on education now than it did when three strikes has passed. During the 10 years of three strikes, there was a dramatic increase in our education spending. Right now, we've got a budgetary disaster, but that's not any responsibility of three strikes. Three strikes also, by reducing crime, which it has done, does reduce other costs to Californians. Californians can spend less money on private security. They have to do less counseling for those who are victims of really, really violent or very, very serious crimes. There's less loss due to theft. Remember, some people commit, a small proportion of offenders can commit up to 100 to 180 offenses a year. Three strikes locks those people away, even if they're those are all
Chuck, I have to stop
home.
You. We're coming up to a break. We're at 1-800-423-8255. Connection listeners, time for you to weigh in here on whether or not you think the three-strike law, as it stands in California, is the proper way to deal with repeat offenders. 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from NPR. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. Taking a look at the three strikes law, not just in California, but right around the country. It does have different shapes and rules in different states, but effectively it is a sweeping measure that takes criminals and just locks them away when society decides that they can no longer be rehabilitated. What do you think of that? 1-800-423-TALK to join us. Let's go to Shrewsbury, Massachusetts, and Larry's on the line. Larry, thanks for calling.
Good morning. I'm very dubious about the ability for the prison system to rehab people, except very young people. But I'm very much opposed to such a simplistic set of rules that, in a blanket way, override professionals in the justice system, is most particularly the judges.
Right.
Now, I believe American prisons may be better than a lot of other countries, but are very barbaric. And my own son was murdered 3 years ago, just being in his apartment, by people that came in to rob the place. But
did they catch those people, Larry?
They caught them. The actual murderer is out on the street because of a very incompetent ADA. But three of them are in prison, and that it really tested my beliefs in punishment and crime and so on. And
so if you look at a kind of discretionary version of three strikes, which hangs this anvil over a repeat offender, like don't do it or you stand the chance of going away for the rest of your life, but you leave the judge with the opportunity to kind of, you know, take a look and maybe exercise a little bit of discretion there. Would that be the right way of doing it, in your view?
No, I don't believe so. I think that there should be some discretion, but the basic law as it exists, I think, I don't believe that the list of crimes that it should include should be anything except for exquisitely clear violent crimes, crimes of a violent sexual or physical nature. And I would also add that I think people actually have to be, unfortunately, hurt in that, because there's a lot of kids that would perhaps have a knife on them. Now, my own son was murdered by a knife. Mm-hmm. But the actual carrying out of an act, unless they're really threatened somebody directly, I don't think should be on the list.
All right.
So with a very, very limited number of crimes, very well spelled out, and two prior convictions on violent crimes on that list, then I could see having judicial discretion to some extent, but all other classes of crimes, I think, should be eliminated from the fray.
Okay, let me turn to Chuck Hobson on that. Chuck, I mean, why not draw that thick black line between these crimes are violent, these crimes are not violent?
Serious crimes are – the California lists for other reasons crimes as either serious or violent for various other enhancements. These phrases were taken from earlier California sentencing law. And serious crimes are literally that serious, like selling drugs to small children. I think it's under 12, but I can't remember the exact age. I believe burglary also comes under that definition.
Okay, stealing a car. Is that a violent crime?
That would not qualify. It depends on how it's stolen. If, for instance, you stole it at gunpoint, yes. If you just broke into a car and took it, no, that one qualifies a strike under the current three strikes law. What happens is
It would count as a third strike.
It would be enhanced. I mean, it's not a strike. The strikes are the first two. The third strike is just the current offense. What matters is you're sentencing not just the current crime, but you're sentencing the criminal. And what you find is people who've demonstrated a continued inability to conform to the law and demonstrated an ability to commit very, very serious or violent offenses. Remember, the serious ones, they're not trivial offenses. They are genuinely serious offenses. With these people who basically, as DAs call it, serve life on an installment plan. They're constantly in and out of prison, and they commit enormous numbers of crimes.
It's a different attitude about sending people away, because when you say you're sentencing the criminal, not the crime, it's not the, you know, you do the crime, you serve the time that is attached to that crime, right, Chuck?
I mean, and basically, by the way, that's the case in every state throughout this country for the last 100 plus years, they've all had these repeat offender enhancements, repeat offender statutes. Granted, the three strikes law is more severe than and because the power of its metaphor, people just remember it. I mean, they remember, which actually helps its deterrent effect.
Go ahead.
Too.
No, there's another reason. It's not just more severe than some of them. It's more severe than all of them combined, okay? It's, you know, most of the other three strikes laws are the number of people locked up under them are in the hundreds in the other states. You could add every single state up and they would not have locked up as many people, half as many people as just California's law. Now, I think, though, that really the last man statement should take us back a moment to where we were, because, I mean, it's an astonishing moment that this man who was just, you know, whose son was killed was saying, no, he doesn't think three strikes should apply to nonviolent offenders. It should only apply to a narrow range of folks. Back in 1994, a couple of things were happening. First of all, crime was at the number one issue in the whole nation, and that was the peak year for fear of crime. It's declined every year since. And Polly Klass was kidnapped and killed. And for those of you not living in California, it was such an outrage for anyone to have seen that, just like it was an outrage for Mike to have his daughter killed, Mike Reynolds. And
Larry,
really
in Shrewsbury,
happened,
you're still with us, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
I think what really happened there was we passed a very bad law at an extraordinarily emotional time. And what we're hoping for now is that reason and ration help us just fix it, not eliminate it, but just amend it.
Larry, do you think there is a danger of changing the laws at a time of emotion or passion? Do you think that's what we're talking about here?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the example that was given of selling drugs to young people. Well, of course, obviously, that's an issue that invokes enormous emotion. However, most of the people that actually sell drugs to young people are young people or fairly young people, and most of them are junkies. Three out of the four people that murdered my son were on OxyContin and other drugs constantly. So it's too easy to make easy emotional statements like that. The reality is We have a prison system where rehabilitation, to the extent it exists, is a farce. But even the most horrible criminal, I think, should live in a civilized manner in a civilized society. So I think we have to do a lot about making the prison systems something that aren't terrible hellholes with sexual abuse and on and on and on, and drugs readily available.
Larry, I want to thank you for your call. It was good to have you on the program.
Thank you.
Let's go next to Lexington, Massachusetts, and Bob's joining us. Hi, Bob.
Hi. I would like to add to this conversation who has actually committed a crime will actually be convicted of a crime and will have on the record that they have been convicted of a crime. You have people on Wall Street who have committed fraud and paid a fine. There will be no record of them having committed a crime. But we have a case in California where the person stole something for the third time. It was a bicycle. So here we have a bicycle stolen. He winds up in jail for the rest of his life versus people who will have no criminal record but have defrauded people of billions of dollars. So we really have to look at this issue of is three strikes and you're out appropriate when people who don't have adequate representation will wind up with a record of having committed a crime, but other people will not.
I think Vinnie Schiraldi will join us here on you know the sort of imbalance in the way that the law ends up applying. The Justice Policy Institute shows that African Americans were marked by three strikes in California at something like a rate of 10 times. Other people, I got that number right?
Yeah, it's 10 times overall if you look at second and third strikes, 12 times if you just look at third strikes. And I think really if you were sitting down to design a law that specifically targeted black people, you could hardly do better than 12 times the rate. I think, though, that several of the comments now speak to another irony, which is that not only is three-strike locking up more nonviolent offenders than violent offenders, but really it enhances the sentences for violent offenders more than it does for violent offenders. Because if you commit a murder in California, as Joe Class pointed out, you're eligible for the death penalty or life without the possibility of parole. But if you steal a six-pack of beer, you're not.
Okay, but Vinnie, you have to agree with the point that Chuck was making earlier, Vinnie, that it's not just about this crime and this
right,
time,
absolutely.
But it's a bigger attitude. It has more to do with saying, long rap sheet, off the street, sick of this.
I understand that, but all I'm saying is that it adds more to the potential sentence for nonviolent offenders than the potential sentence for violent offenders, because violent offenders are already getting very long sentences. And by the way, the other thing we need to remember is I'm not advocating that people who steal things out of Kmart, you know, videotapes, get made man of the year. Nor were they in California. They already were getting prison sentences. They already were getting enhanced prison sentences. The state passed 1,200 new laws lengthening sentences or creating new crimes in the 14 years prior to the three strikes enactment, and its prison population went from 20,000 to 125,000. So it increased sixfold in the years leading up to three strikes. The irony was, during the time when the argument was occurring, when a debate was occurring around the law, some people were saying, we need to pass three strikes because the legislature is reticent to act, which was preposterous. The state had built 19 prisons, as Mike Reynolds said, and only one state university.
All right, I've got to move along here. You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. Next to Watertown, New York, Anthony's with us. Anthony, go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, how you doing today?
Fine, thanks.
I'm from Watertown, New York, like you said, and I went through a 12-month rehabilitation program.
Yep.
I'm 21 years old now, but I'm one of very few successful people that went through the program.
Did you do some time in prison then, Anthony?
I didn't, but I was faced with the time.
Right.
I was faced with time in jail, and what I'm saying is there was many people that I was with there that did go to prison that were in rehabilitation. They had the chance to rehabilitate, and they just weren't willing yet, so they chose to go back to prison. And I'm a very firm believer in rehabilitation, but I also believe that when you have the chance once, if you throw it out, then sometimes you just need to go serve the time, or you're never really going to learn your lesson.
So when we talk about the three strikes law, in effect saying, look, you had three runs at this, it's time that you just went and sat in a jail cell, do you agree with the basic principle behind the law then, Anthony?
I think I do. You know, I had my first chance, and I rehabilitated, and I'm not trying to sound holier than thou. I know a lot of people, it takes some more.
Yeah.
But when you've gone through many things, I mean, a lot of people are saying that this three-strike law, they're going to jail for stealing a cookie or a piece of pizza. I don't really look at it that way. You're going to jail because you committed other crimes and you didn't learn your lesson.
All right, Chuck. Anthony, let me just hear from Chuck Hobson on this, because I think he's pretty well making the argument that you are, Chuck, no?
He couldn't say it better. And congratulations for getting yourself back on your feet. California has always had numerous opportunities for people to rehabilitate themselves, particularly the lower-level offenders and particularly drug offenders. They've always had – we have an extensive system to attempt to rehabilitate people. Granted, at times it does get overwhelmed, and there should be many – probably more resources given to that. But California, there are opportunities to do it. The fact is some people, too many people don't. And these people, these one-person crime waves who commit offense after offense after offense, crime, they commit crime at a wholesale level. These people who never stop committing offenses, at a certain point, if they're not deterred, you have to incapacitate them. And the only effective way to protect the people of California is by keeping them in prison. By the way, as to the disproportionate racial effect, California's district attorneys, unless they're accusing the California district attorneys of being racist, which I doubt that they are, making that accusation, it's also worth remembering that African Americans and Hispanics are much, much more likely to be the victims of types of three strikes crimes. Typically, crimes are committed in your own neighborhoods. The people who are most often victims of the crimes are victims from or live in the same area as the criminals themselves.
Let's just hear from Vinny just what your principal suggestion would be. How would you change this law? Would you rip it apart or would you adjust it?
Well, actually, I think there's two answers to that. One is I think the law needs to be amended so that it really only targets violent offenders at this point, at the very least. But the other, I think, more important thing is we're sitting here talking about three strikes as if that's, you know, a law that exists in isolation to California's prison system. California's penal code, California's prison system dramatically needs to be overhauled. There's constant stories about abuse by the guards and guards setting up fights between inmates and one another.
But what would you change about three strikes? You just make
three strikes should be targeted towards violent offenders only, and the penal code needs to be rewritten so that when judges get defendants at sentencing, they have the options. It's not true what Mr. Hobson said about there being plenty of rehabilitative options. There's long waiting lists. Judges need those options, but we're spending so much money on prisons now, we can't give it to them.
Well, this debate goes on and on, and I suspect we'll be at it again. Vinny, I want to thank you for being with us on the program today.
Thank you.
Vincent Schiraldi, Executive Director of the Justice Policy Institute, and Charlie Hobson there. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Charles Hobson.
Charles Hobson. I'm sorry, I lost my my notes for a minute there. Appreciate
no
your being
thank
with
you
us.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Charles Hobson is attorney with the Criminal Justice Legal Foundation, a crime victims' rights organization in Sacramento, California. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection.